And welcome to a new episode of Digital Coffee Gaming Brew. And I'm your host, Brett Dyster. If you could please subscribe to this podcast on all your favorite podcasting apps. Leave a 5-star review. It really does help with the rankings. Let me know how I'm doing. But this week, we're going to be talking about Crystal Dynamics, layoffs, NVIDIA's AI app, because we need AI for everything, especially since NVIDIA, the updated version of Game Bar. We're also going to be talking about the new update of No Man's Sky Relics, should be a little interesting. Also, the co-director of Dragon Age The Veilguard apparently is going to be working at Wizard of the Coast. We're talking about that, unfortunately. Wildgate and why it's interesting. Also, Epic Games has a spring sale, so I'm going to be talking about that for the next 2 weeks. Adam Fall and why I'm frustrated with that game in general. And the main thing we're talking about is Ubisoft and just the future of what Ubisoft is doing and everything else. It's just a wild, interesting thing, and why their 3 million players is not really what it actually seems to be, because it's just weird that they don't give us sales figures, but they go, look, it's a success because 3 million players supposedly play this game. Anyways, let's get on with the show. All right, so first off is, well, Crystal Dynamics, the developer behind a lot of really good games, including the last of it was basically the Tomb Raider series that they actually acquired from Square Enix. But they also have done Legacy of Kain, Soul Reaver. They've done several other types of games. They also did an unfortunate failure, which was Marvel Avengers, which nobody really played very much after a while. So they basically are laying off 17 members. They are describing this as a difficult decision. The layoffs were aligned the studio's business needs with future success and do not reflect the dedication and ability of those affected. The studio is providing support to impacted employees through transition packages and opportunity outreach. Despite layoffs, Crystal Dynamics remains committed to the current project plans, including the upcoming Tomb Raider installment. And basically the facts is that they haven't created a new game in quite a while. I think 2019 was the last Tomb Raider game that we saw from the current crop of it. So we haven't really seen anything like that. The studio described the decision as difficult and stated it was necessary to align with current business needs. Crystal Dynamics emphasized that layoffs do not reflect the dedication of or ability of those affected. The studio is providing support, but we haven't really seen much going on. We know that there's a deal or a supposed deal between Amazon and Crystal Dynamics when it comes to Tomb Raider, but that's all we really know about it. And this seems like it's going to be hard because they got to produce something. It's kind of like Monolith Studios when they were basically shuttered by Warner Brothers because they weren't producing anything. They had Wonder Woman in development, but it looks like it wasn't really doing very well or wasn't really doing much. So that's unfortunate as well. And I feel like unless they start producing something, they're not really going to be, they could be on the chopping block for Embracer Group, because Embracer Group did buy up a lot of studios before, and then all of a sudden they're like, yeah, we can't maintain all this, and so we're going to let go of a bunch of studios, including Volition, which they didn't really know what to do with Saints Row, which is funny because it was their own game that they didn't know what to do with. So a lot of the prior team that actually knew what the game was about were gone. But again, we will see what happens with this. All right, so NVIDIA's new app version comes with a new AI that I installed because why not? But it's called the Project G Assist, is the new AI assistant that runs locally on your PC with RTX 30 series and up. So if you have the 20 series, you cannot use this. So luckily, I just skated through with the 3090. But the G Assist can optimize game settings, track performance stats, and control peripheral settings via voice or text commands. The assistant uses Llama-based models with 8 billion parameters, enabling it to function on gaming GPUs. Compatibility with laptop GPUs is expected in the future, so if you have a laptop, not quite yet. Concerns exist regarding the VRAM usage of GeoAssist on lower-end GPUs, and the article expresses hope that the NVIDIA will increase VRAM for better AI features and support, as per one of the gaming industries. But it's interesting to see. I installed it. I haven't really used it very much, but the base resolution can range from 33% to 100% of final upscale resolution. So this could help with better performance, supposedly. It's really all up to what it actually does. We've seen all the promises from NVIDIA to like, oh, look at our frame generation is really great. And it's like it's fake frame generation or it's fake frame rates and doesn't really do much. So I'm skeptical about it, but it doesn't mean I'm not going to try it out. It just means that I'm not really going to like fully trust this to be the best it can be, but it could work out. Having voice commands to do things easily instead of always alt-tabbing between different types of games is really great. So I'll give them that. But beyond that, I'm not really quite sure. All right. So Microsoft has announced a new update for the Windows Game Bar on PC. It has received a new look featuring a cleaner user interface or UI. The Game Bar allows users to launch games, control audio mixes, and monitor game performance. The Home Bar and Widget, Capture Performance Resource and Widget Store have a more lightweight appearance. Microsoft stated that these visual changes are the beginning of updates rolling out that week. The update coincides with the UI change in Discord, which included improved spacing and a full dark mode overlay. An update on the Windows Cloud Gaming allows users to switch between games without returning to homepage. Currently available for some Assassin's Creed titles, and Xbox is expanding in-game benefits for more free-to-play titles, including Heroes of the Storm and Call of Duty Warzone, allowing players to acquire cosmetic characters and in-game currency. So I looked at it. It's a nice update for it. I don't really use Game Bar that much. I just have it just to tinker around with it. But I don't really use it. I mean, yeah, they're trying to do what the Steam overlay does. But to be honest with you, I don't really use Xbox or Microsoft Game Bar or anything like that at all. Doesn't really do much for me, but hey, at least they're trying to update and make it better. If you can actually make it better, switch between things and not actually have to alt tab all the time is good. But like I said, who actually really uses this? I don't think a lot of people actually use this. I'm not saying that they shouldn't update it, but let's be honest, it's not that great. All right, so Hello Games has released a new update to No Man's Sky called Relics. And within this, Hello Games has released a new update with Relics available for download on PC, console, and VR. This update follows the World Part 2 update from January, which includes visual enhancements, gameplay addition, and quality of life improvements. The Relic update introduces a new category of finds, skeletal remains of alien creatures that players can excavate from the planets. Players can collect a variety of prehistoric bones, which can be reassembled into skeletons for display. The rarity of these finds varies, with the most uncommon items being valuable for bartering at the space station. A community expedition will also start challenging players to find the rarest items. So, let's be honest. I've been amazed with what Hello Games has done with No Man's Skies. You would think when it first came out that they weren't, it was over. This game was going to go nowhere. No one's playing it. Everybody hated it. But nope, they're like, nope, we're going to fix this. We're going to make this better. Just you wait until you see what we do. And they basically barreled down and went, all right, we're going to do this. And then they kept on updating it and making it better and better with adding bases, with adding mechs, with adding pirates, with adding aliens or more aliens or companion animals, with adding visual improvements, with adding frigates, fleets, like a ton of things. It's amazing just how well this developer has maintained its pedigree and saying, look, we're going to make this so good that you're going to want to buy it instead of doing like what EA does and goes, oh, we're going to fix everything. No, just kidding. We're not really going to fix everything. We're just going to leave it in a terrible state. I'm looking at Anthem because they had an opportunity to do it and they balked again because EA doesn't understand how to maintain games. They do it until they feel like there's no money in it. And then they leave instead of a small developer going, look at, this is our game. We want people to like it. So we're going to do everything we can to make it better. And this is why people love Hello Games. And this is why people do not like EA because they suck. All right, moving on to Wizards of the Coast and Corinne Bush, the co-director of Dragon Age The Veilguard. So here are the facts. He, because I'm not doing she, because he is a he, one of the co-directors of Dragon Age Veilguard is now leading an unannounced video game in Wizards of the Coast. Wizards of the Coast owns Dungeons & Dragons and Baldur's Gate. And Dan, the video game boss at Wizards of the Coast, confirmed Bush's role in an interview with The Game File. The new project is being developed at Skeleton Key, a studio that has not released any games yet. Wizards of the Coast has four internal teams and has released a co-op looter game titled Dungeons & Dragons Dark Alliance. Another team of BioWare veterans is working on a game called Exodus in an original universe. Wizards of the Coast plans to continue developing Baldur's Gate games despite Lorena Studios deciding not to create Baldur's Gate 4. Look, I don't think she should be anywhere near games because she's the one that completely tanked Dragon Age The Veilguard, which was originally Dragon Age The Dreadwolf and had such a terrible development that we got a terrible game. And the funny part is it. So at this time, it actually has still done better than Assassin's Creed Shadows when we look at Steam records or Steam data, because Steam is the only one that kind of gives us accurate data on who's actually playing this game instead of relying on the publishers and developers going, look at our games of success, which EA tried to do and BioWare tried to do. And people were like, we're not buying this. This game's not that good. I don't even know why you're trying to lecture me on non-binary and how to not misgender somebody. Because look it, I'm going to misgender you. You're a dude. You're not a woman. You'll never be a woman. You're a dude. Deal with it. And you should never be at the helm of another development studio ever again because of just how terrible you've done to Dragon Age, which was a great series prior to you. You single-handedly ruined a really great series called Dragon Age for your own vanity. And that is probably one of the worst things you could have ever done. And I hope this basically tanks and you never work in gaming again, because you need to stay away from anything that is creative, because you are not creative. You are a propagandist and you need to stop. All right, moving on to something better. Wildgate. Yes. From basically some of the old developers from BioWare is creating a crew based shooter with spaceship combat. So here are the facts. Is basically, it's a, like I said, it's a crew-based shooter from Moonshot Games and Dreamhaven. Wildgate, players referred to as prospectors, form crews of four to explore a region of space called the Reach. The goal of the game is to search for ancient relics known as artifact, with players having options to either escape with it or achieve a domination victory by destroying rival ships. The game features a procedurally generated map that offers randomized encounters and rewards, ensuring a unique experience in each match. The community playtest for Wildgate is set to begin on April 10th, 2025. And I've seen some videos on it. It looks great. Looks fun. Looks like a Sea of Thieves, but in space and with unique characters and personalities and different types of abilities. It looks great. It's from the old school BioWare team, which I highly like a lot better, which is fine for me because that's what I actually want. But the funny part is that this is probably the best thing for us right now since Blizzard. Did I say BioWare? No, it's Blizzard. The old team of Blizzard is the one actually doing this, but this is probably the best thing I've seen, because Blizzard is not making anything really anymore. They're just updating what they actually have, which is either Diablo 4 or a remake of Warcraft 1 and 2. But mind you, no Warcraft 4 for whatever reason, no Starcraft 3 for whatever reason. And with the current crop of RTSs coming out, you would think some of the publishers and developers will be like, look, hey, look at, maybe we should make a new one. Maybe we should see if we can actually be profitable with this. But no, they haven't done that yet. And so we're stuck with this, but I'm all happy that they created their own studio and they got away from BioWare, because BioWare is not what it used to be anymore. All right, so moving on to, do you want to save money, gamers? Because we always love a deal, but Epic Game Store, I know, it's not the best game store, and it's not the most beloved game store, and they're annoying, and I wish they would go away, but they do have a deal going on, or they have the spring sale going on, which runs for 2 weeks, and some of the games are Alan Wake 2 Deluxe Edition is going to be 50% off. Also, the Outlast Trials is going to be 60% off. Dragon Age The Veilguard is 50% off. Look at, I have the PlayStation Pass and I just did it for free because it's free and why not? It's still not that great. It Takes Two is 70% off. The Witcher 3 Wild Hunt, which is highly recommend getting, is 80% off. Pacific Drive is 40% off. Saturn Alia is 80% off, and they're also offering free games of Cat Quest and Neko Ghost for the next week. So if you're looking for some new games to play, which is not Dragon Age The Veilguard, or if you really want to spend your money on that, it's up to you. This is the best time to actually check it out, and I'm going to highly recommend doing it right now if you actually have a Epic Game Store account. If not, I'm just don't do it. I also thought I saw some Crysis actually on sale as well. The Crysis Trilogy is also on sale. So like I said, if you're looking for something great, and I highly recommend at least getting the original Crysis. 2 and 3 is not bad, but the first Crysis is actually really great. Then by all means, check it out. All right, so Adam Falls. So I got the deluxe edition, and I still, for the love of God, cannot play this dumb game. I boot it up, and it goes straight into the Brand of Rebellion and everything like that. It goes into basically the scene of the title screen and then crashes. I've done everything from making it low to doing windowed to doing 2K. Nothing works whatsoever. I have no idea how terribly you have unoptimized this game that I can't even run this game. And this is the only game I've ever not been able to run. But I would give this a 1 star only because I can't run this game. For the life of me, I don't even know why I cannot run this game. And I've tried everything. I've tried turning off all the overlays that happen, even the Steam overlay, the NVIDIA overlay, like everything I could figure to turn off, I've turned off, and it still will not run. So I don't recommend this game just because I can't run it. And I've never, ever, ever had a problem with this, with a game like this. Is bad. Even Stalker 2 I could run. And that is and it's a great game, and you should definitely play it. But at least I could actually run that game. Not really great because it actually had a lot of issues because it would crash on me, but it would run. It would get me into the title screen. I could actually play the game. Adam Fall, I can't even do that. I can maybe run it on the Steam Deck, but it's like, why can't I run it on my PC? I don't understand why I can't run it on my PC. It just doesn't make any sense. Like, this game should be a lot more optimized than it is. And that's why I basically gave it a negative review, because it's like, what is wrong with you? It's just, yeah, some games are great for your system, and other games, which is apparently Adam Fall, is not. So I guess I should be looking forward to is Tempest Rising, the new RTS game coming out next month, and or Doom the Dark Ages, which comes out in May, because I don't know if I'll be able to play this game at all. It's so funny. All right, moving on to Ubisoft, because they can't stay out of the news at all. So here's the thing. Ubisoft has announced a new subsidiary focused on three key franchises, Assassin's Creed, Far Cry, and Rainbow Six. It's been invested in with Tencent, investing about $1.25 billion USD for a minority stake of about 25% in its subsidiaries. Other Ubisoft franchises such as Division and Ghost Recon will continue to operate separately. The extent of potential layoffs or studio closures due to these changes is currently unknown, but likely going to happen. The new subsidiary aims to develop game ecosystems that are evergreen and multi-platform. Great, more quadruple A games that will be terrible. Goals include enhancing the quality of narrative experience, expanding multiplayer content, increasing release frequency, introducing free-to-play elements, and integrating more social features. Because that's what all we all need. We don't want you to create a good game. We want these features because this is what gamers want. And they still don't get it. I swear they... The leaders of this of Ubisoft need to go. They won't go because they'll figure out how to spin it off, how to still make money, and how to not to have debt. But they really need to go. They are the ones that are killing this publisher and developer, and they still don't get it. The reason why Assassin's Creed Shadows has failed, and I say failed because I don't agree or even accept their loose figures, is because it wasn't a fun game. It had too many controversies surrounding it. And the funny part is, quote unquote, ratioing Elon is not going to help your game. It's not even going to help sell your game. Yeah, you'll get a few of the weirdos that clearly just don't like him, but what, you can do 100 copies? Because that's not going to move the needle at all. You like I said, you probably would get some, maybe. Because even the people saying, I'm going to buy it, probably aren't actually going to buy it. But we're going to focus on Rainbow Six and specifically Siege, because you haven't created anything new in quite a while. So it's probably going to be Rainbow Six Siege, maybe two, hopefully. But since you already kind of released Rainbow Six Siege X, which is funny because you would think Rainbow Six Siege X would be the 10th version of the game, but it's not. It's just X with a new mode and maybe some better graphics, better sound. Mind you, the reason why people loved Rainbow Six Siege in the beginning is because it was a tactical shooter. Now it's a weird hybrid of a like cross between a tactical but also Call of Duty. So it's a little bit more arcadey than it was, but now we have that. So here's my problem. How is this going to change anything that's happened prior to this? It's not, because the issue is the people making the games aren't listening to their customers, and they're saying, look, we actually made a great game. It has 3 million players played it. I'm like, okay, what's the sales figures? Oh, 3 million players have played Assassin's Creed Shadow. What are the sales figures? 3 million players have played it because there are about 2 million people signed up for Ubisoft Plus. So that will, we'll just lump them all in and then we'll figure out how to get the extra million to say how much of a success we are, even though it's not really a success because the highest you got on the Steam numbers is a little over 60,000 players playing it. And that's well below the 89,000 from Dragon Age: The Veilguard, and that was considered a failure. So when are we going to see the actual numbers? Or are we never going to see the numbers because you're not going to show it to us? Because recently they said that Assassin's Creed Shadow has surpassed 3 million players within a week of its launch on March 20th. Someone did a typo on that one. This player count increased from 2 million reported just 2 days after launch, and Shadows has outperformed the launch of previous titles like Origin and Odyssey. And I think Odyssey was really the only one that actually launched on Steam, because the rest of them haven't really launched on Steam. It achieved the second highest day one sales revenue, which we haven't gotten. We just gotten 2 million players have played. That's not sales. And everybody's, ooh, look, sales. I'm like, that's not sales. That is very marketing speak or PR speak to skirt the sales issue. When you say that, when you say 2 million players playing, but you don't say 2 million in sales, it means that you haven't had the 2 million in sales and you're getting your numbers somewhere else. Blizzard was notorious with Overwatch on this one as well, as how many people playing the game. But it was so cheap, a lot of people just bought multiple copies of it. I want to see the sales. Everybody wants to see the sales, and you aren't doing that. You're like, look at, people have played this game. 2 million players. How long have they played it? Don't look at that. Just look at the how many have actually played it. So are you accounting for the people that played like 2 minutes of it? The people that played 2 hours of it? The people who played the 20 hours of it? What is the distinction? And we don't have a distinction because we don't know anything beyond supposedly 3 million players have played this game. I don't know what that means, including players that have gotten free copies from you because you put keys on your Twitter or X account. Like, where is this number coming from? Like, I don't understand this like weird hodgepodge of like, it's a success, and then eventually it's not going to be a success, because that's what exactly happened to Dragon Age: The Veilguard. And I don't understand these people. Marketers are terrible right now because they aren't really telling you the truth. They're just trying to make the numbers look good because they need to make it look good because they spent a lot of money trying to make this game. Estimated cost around $300 million. So they need to make sure it looks good. But every time I see the Steam numbers, they don't look good. They have not even been close to breaking the 100,000 mark, which if you break the 100,000 mark, you could be considered a mildly successful game on Steam. But you haven't. You've reached about 60,000, which is even lower than Dragon Age: The Veilguard. And then weirdly enough, you spin off your company into a IP farm, basically. Be like, no, we're a success. Now we're just only going to focus on three games, which you're now turning into Activision, which is even funnier because the only thing Activision makes nowadays, or did prior to the acquisition of Microsoft, was Call of Duty. The only game it made was Call of Duty. That was it. And now you're telling me that you aren't doing the same thing that Activision is doing. I just don't think these publishers understand the customers anymore. I get they're trying to look at their stock prices, which, by the way, Ubisoft stock prices not looking good either. But come on, realistically, you have to show your numbers. You cannot just fudge your numbers and be like, look at what we have. It's so awesome. But it's not really. Because we don't really know if it's actually success or not because of the vague stats you give. And I'm saying vague for that specific reason. Hey, I would love Assassin's Creed to be great, but Ubisoft has not been a really great company to understand storytelling. And they've been going to one specific ideology and then pissing off people and then wondering why people are upset about them. And then now just making fun of people because it's easier to make fun of people than actually create a great game and just to fire the activists, because activists just don't do anything for your game. So here we are in the gaming industry. We have some developers that understand their customers very well and understand that appealing to your customers makes you successful. I'm looking at the developer from Baldur's Gate. I'm looking at developers from Helldivers 2. They understand their customers. They know exactly what they want. And they do that. Oh, and also Saber Interactive. I'll put them in there because they made Space Marine 2, and that game is amazing as well. they understand it. Actually, I'll put id there too, because they're actually making Dune Dark Ages, and it's not a weird hybrid of what it should be. But that's all. That's the only developers that understand it. Bethesda doesn't understand their customers anymore. And it's weird. Like, we haven't changed. You guys have changed. And we're like, look it, we're trying to find the modern audience, the gaming audience. They're somewhere here. And they agree with us fully. And we're all like, no, we don't. So let's make our games for the 2% of the gaming population, because that will be successful. Let's forget that historically our games were great because we did this. But let's do this instead, because that will work. It's nonsense. It's insane. But anyways, if you are enjoying Assassin's Creed Shadows, more power to you. I still say go play Ghost of Tsushima because it's a lot better, but that's just my opinion about it. But anyways, what do you think? Ubisoft is on the right track here. Do you think Assassin's Creed Shadows is going to be a success, or anything else I talked about? Let me know in the comments below. And thank you for listening to Digital Coffee Gaming Review. I really do appreciate it. And subscribe to this podcast on all your favorite podcasting apps. Leave a 5-star review. Really, this helps with the rankings. Let me know how I'm doing. And join me next week to talk about what's going on in the gaming industry. All right, guys, stay safe. Get to playing the games that you want to play, regardless of what I think. And have a nice day and a nice weekend as well. Later.